Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our pretty day again today. We thank you for your blessings in our lives, and that you walk beside us, that you care about us, and you care about our needs. Father, I pray that you'd please be with us now this morning, that your Spirit would speak to us, that you'd bless us in your word, in Jesus' name, amen. The sermon that Paul preached in Pisidian Antioch is recorded for us in Acts, the 13th chapter, if you'd open your Bibles to that. Paul and his companions are there in the synagogue in Pisidian Antioch, and they're asked to speak. And so Paul does so. And in the middle of reciting how God has led Israel, he mentions David in Acts 13, verses 21 and 22. Paul here speaking says, "Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" The Lord's appraisal of David and what made him a man after God's own heart was the willingness of David to do everything that God wanted him to do. We all know that David was not a perfect man. Sometimes his fears, sometimes his desires got the best of him. But when he stopped and when he listened to God, he submitted to God's ways, a man after God's own heart. There are many things over the course of a life that the Lord asks us to do. And each one of us walking a unique path fulfills the different requirements that are associated with that particular path. But the Lord has outlined in the scriptures, in what was our scripture reading this morning, three general rules of thumb that apply to all of us to help us see that course that lies before us, the one that he's desiring that we should follow. Again, we're looking in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, a passage you probably have memorized. "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Let's consider those three points for a minute. When you put them all together, it really is a living out of the Ten Commandments, a living out of the moral law of God. To be just and to be merciful is the attitude that we're supposed to have towards our fellow man. And to walk humbly before God is a life that reflects those first four of the commandments. But each one of these points deserves a little individual attention. So look at the first one, to act justly. This is an essential quality of a man or a woman of God. It strikes at the very basis of a moral character. It puts all of us on the same ground. And it requires us to deal justly with everyone that we come in contact. Justice is one of God's own attributes. He is a just God. He wants us to have the same heart that he has, to see things in this world with the same eyes that he sees them with. He wants us to do things that are fair, and he wants us to be honorable to everyone. In Habakkuk 2:4, we are told that the just shall live by faith. So living a just life is an act of faith. Our faith in God is like a moral shield around us. It makes injustice repulsive to us, and it enables us to be honest and to be careful in our own lives, God not wanting us to do anything that is unfair or unjust. That second point about mercy, to love mercy. Notice that this is a call. It's not just a call to be merciful, but it's to love mercy, just as we're called to love the truth. But we are to look for here opportunities to express mercy, opportunities to embrace mercy, and mercy and justice end up walking hand in hand. A person who is just is also a person who is merciful. In our relationship with other people, we're going to discover over time, no matter who they are, that they have weaknesses. Though they are strong in some areas, all humans have failings that are going to disappoint us and maybe even offend us. But when we are conscious of our own shortcomings, we will be merciful of the shortcomings of others. Mercy is the fruit of God's love that He's poured into our own hearts. To be truly merciful, our own heart has to be moved by love. You can't be a genuine Christian, you can't be a follower of Jesus of Nazareth and not have love for other people. That's why Paul said so strongly in 1 Corinthians 13:2, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. Love is therefore the great motivating power of a godly life. God's love alone supplies the power that joins human will with a divine presence that enables us to live in joy and in peace while fulfilling the obligations that we have here on this earth. Mercy brings with it great benefits. It benefits the person who receives the mercy, and it benefits the person who is giving the mercy. By showing mercy to others, we receive mercy for ourselves from God. It was Jesus Himself on that hillside above the Sea of Galilee who said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." That from Matthew 5:7. The third section of that passage from Micah tells us, after acting justly and loving mercy, that we ought all to walk humbly before God. You think about that, walking humbly before God. When you read the whole Bible and you bring it all down to one thing, the essence of a biblical faith is walking with God. It starts that way with Adam and Eve in the garden, and it ends that way in back in God's kingdom, walking, or us being with God. Knowing who He is and all that He has done, that provides us with the humility part of the text, because we know who we are. He is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor, the God who really sees, our Deliverer, our King, our Rock, our Creator, our Savior, the One who walks beside us. This sense of God, who hears our prayers, who heals our wounds, who triumphs over our weaknesses, this sense of His presence beside us creates in us a bond of affection. And that bond develops a true personal relationship that is our own, that is unique, that no one else on earth has. No one else on earth has the relationship with God that I have. And I do not have the relationship that you have. Each one is precious to Him. That's why when we get to heaven, He gives us a new name, something special. Something that will be between Him and I and you and He that reflects that individual relationship. Human pride and arrogance have absolutely no room in this relationship with God. Both the Lord and I know that I am dust, but He loves me. He loves you. Oh, flip your Bible over to Isaiah for just a moment. Isaiah, the 57th chapter. In Isaiah 57, verse 15. It says, "For this is what the High and Lofty One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Now this morning I have a partner in this sermon who is preaching this morning his very first sermon, but I do not expect it will be his last. He's going to talk to us a little bit about a man who lived by these principles and the impact that his life made. Christian?
All right. Happy Sabbath. I first came to this church when I was 4 years old, and I am now 15 and I've had some great memories here. I know that at times in our lives we come across the question, is what I'm doing really making a difference? Well, let's go ahead and look in 1 Corinthians 15:58 to find that answer. It says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I would like to tell you about a man that I admire, for he gave himself fully to the work of the Lord. My great-grandfather, Jesus Villegas, loved God, and he praised him. His first profession was a watchmaker in Mexico. When he came to know God, he took hold of what he learned and soared. He started a Seventh-day Adventist Reformed Church. He became a pastor and was a very busy man. If you came to see him, you would usually see him at his typewriter preparing his sermon for the week. He gained the name Moses from a Pentecostal church and started to describe him as a walking encyclopedia. He was the center of the family. He was one that held our family close together. He always seemed calm and was a great person to be around. He was never afraid to share God's word with others. He had such a passion for it too, and our family greatly respected him. Unfortunately, I couldn't communicate with him very well because he spoke Spanish, and I can't speak Spanish very well. During his final days, I desired to ask him a question, and I asked my mom to translate. I had asked him how many books he had read in his lifetime, and he had said that he read over 500 books. I was amazed by his response. It inspired me to want to read more and develop a stronger, closer, and more personal relationship with him. I admire my great-grandfather for what he stood for and for what he believed in. He is an excellent example for the way we should live our lives. He lived his life so that he can tell others about who God is and what he has done for us. Let's look at Matthew 28:18-20. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we know that we all have the responsibility to share God's word with others. And God has given each and every one of us the gifts to do that. My great-grandfather, he preached in the 1940s and 50s, and he used what he had. And what he had was his health and his feet. He preached from town to town, church to church. He walked to each and every place and to tell others about God's word. A world-renowned neurosurgeon, Ben Carson, says, success in life revolves around recognizing and using our raw material. We all need to use our raw material in order to share God's word with others. We all have a different part in order to share the good news. And God tells us this in Ephesians 4:15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Not one of us can do what the other person is doing in his and her life. We all have a purpose, and we all share the responsibility to share the gospel with others. And today we live in a society that desires instant information. Information fast and quick. And Adventist Church, by using the raw materials, is using YouTube to promote the gospel. And another website that is called GodTube is... they also should promote the gospel, and it's more appropriate for Christians. I like the way the publisher of the book just walk across the room. Bill Hibbles said, talks about how we can make a difference in everyone else's lives. What if you knew that by simply walking across the room and saying hello to someone, you can change that person's life forever? Just a few steps to make an eternal difference. It has nothing to do with methods and everything to do with taking a genuine interest in another human being. All you need is a heart that's in tune with the Holy Spirit and a willingness to venture out of your circle of comfort and into another person's life. Just walk across the room brings personal evangelism into the 21st century. Building on the solid foundation and becoming a contagious Christian, Bill Hibbles shows how you can participate in the model first set by Jesus, who stepped down from heaven 2,000 years ago to bring hope and redemption to broken people living in a fallen world. Now it's your turn. Your journey may not be as dramatic, but it can have a life-changing impact for someone standing a few steps away from you and for you as well. As you learn the power of extending care, compassion, and inclusiveness under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I would like to leave you with this thought. Do you want to be a contagious Christian? Thank you.
Let's stand for our closing prayer. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us, for coming beside us, for speaking to our children, for enabling them to have a heart that wants to stand up and speak on your behalf. Lord, I pray that you'd please be close to our congregation. Bless all of our children, all of our grandchildren. Help them to grow up with a love for you, a compassion for other people, and a desire, Lord, to spread the gospel in the very to the very best of our abilities. Bless us as a church, Lord, to fulfill all those desires that are part of your heart, so that our heart is a reflection of yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.